Day, good people. Contemplative Inner Being and me, Robert Farrell, are happy to welcome you to Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is a series of honest, inclusive, and contemplative reflections to encounter pure presence and discover deep inner connection to goodness, truth, and beauty. Wisdom is not knowing more, but knowing with more of you, knowing deeper. Wisdom may be experienced as a quiet leap of joy in the heart, absolute clarity in the mind, or a deep centeredness in the body. Contemplation, like the wisdom path, is an exercise in openness and keeping heart, mind, and body open long enough for us to touch what is deepest in us. With words, music, and silence, let us drop into our hearts and be present. Find a comfortable sitting position. Perhaps light a candle. If comfortable and you're not driving, close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Then please repeat out loud. I open my heart to love. I open my heart to wisdom. I am present. I am. Weed and wheat. Jesus's parable of the weeds and wheat offer insight into becoming compassionate both and people instead of either or people. We may have been told to pull out the imperfect weeds and get rid of our faults. But since we really couldn't get rid of them, we covered them up and pretended we didn't have them. And that just doesn't work. Jesus shows us absolute realism. He says, let the weeds and the wheat both grow together. We can't pretend to understand it, although it allows us to be compassionate with ourselves. Everything is a mixed bag, a combination of good and bad. We are not all weeds, and we are not all wheat either. We need to learn to accept and forgive this mixed bag of reality in ourselves and in everybody else. Our world is filled with a lot of angry people because they cannot accept their own weeds. To accept this teaching simply means that we have some realism about ourselves and each other. We have to name the weed as a weed. We can't just pretend it's all wheat, all good, because it isn't. We are not perfect. If you really love anybody, then you have learned to accept a person despite and sometimes even because of their faults. Only God's heart, only the mind of Christ in us, really and fully knows how to do that. Parables are a wisdom genre, a genre that aims to bring about interchange in the hearer. They belong to Mashal, the Jewish branch of the universal tradition of sacred poetry, stories, proverbs, riddles, and dialogues through which wisdom is conveyed. We can see the razor edge of Jesus' brilliance as he takes the familiar world of Mashal far beyond the safety zone of conventional morality into a world of radical reversal and paradox. He is transforming proverbs into parables. A parable is not the same thing as an aphorism or a moral lesson. Their job is not to confirm, but to uproot. Parables invite the hearer to encounter God in an everyday and ever-changing reality. They are not about God. They are about weddings and banquets, family tensions, muggings, farmers sowing and reaping, and shrewd business dealings. Rabbi Jesus wanted us to look closely at this world. It is here and now. All around us, in the most ordinary things, that we find the divine presence. Jesus wanted people to see that the world itself was changing and that they had better change the way they looked at it. He invited them to become part of the change. Time after time, he said that they have eyes to see, let them see, and that they have ears, let them hear. He simply wanted people to pay attention to what was going on around them and to discern a reality that was just under their noses. He called it the coming of the reign of God. Rest in this knowing. The Searching Shepherd. A sheep was enjoying his grass. Then he looked around and he discovered that he was alone. That is, that all the sheep had gone. And he began crying aloud. And then the shepherd, who had many sheep, left his 99 to try to find this sheep that was lost. God is like that. Why was he lost? He was lost because he was out of touch with the group that sustained him, the group that fed him, that gave him a sense that he counted. That's all. We want to feel that we count with the others. There's a certain warmth in that. There's a certain something that is creative and redemptive about the sense of community, about the fellowship. Insulation is something that is spiritual. Sometimes we do it because we don't quite know how to establish a relationship or relationships with my fellows that can float our spirit to them and bring their spirit to us. God is like the shepherd, seeking always to find those who are out of community with their fellows. And when they have found it, when they have found their community with their fellows, then all the world seems to fit back into place. And life takes on a new meaning. The lost sheep, the searching shepherd, and the cry of anguish of the sheep was the voice of identification that the shepherd heard. That is how God is, if we let Him. There are 15 different scriptures, direct allusions to eternal life being a great big party, described as a banquet, a feast, a party, a wedding, the marriage feast of the Lamb. There is one about eternal life being a courtroom or a judgment scene, Matthew 25. Matthew 25 makes it very clear that the ultimate issue is about how we care for the poor and marginalized. The good news of Jesus sends a message out to the highways and byways, inviting everybody who's willing to come to the banquet. It's that simple. Jesus goes out of his way to mention the good and bad alike. We don't like that either. We only want the good people to be there at the banquet, assuming, of course, that we are the good people. Did you ever see the irony of that? Let's be honest and admit that many of us aren't excited to be at church. For many of us, the body of Christ is not a party. Do we want to be part of the wedding feast to which we are all invited? The only people who don't get in on the party are those who don't want to come. So I guess we have to ask ourselves, do we want to come? Rest in this knowing. Seed of Truth. Consider the parable of the sower scattering seed on different types of ground. It has been known for centuries as the parable of the sower, which means there is a chance that we have got it all backwards. We hear the story and think it is about us. What if it is not about us at all, but about the sower? What if it is not about our own success and failures and birds and rocks and thorns, but about the extravagance of a sower who does not seem to be fazed by such concerns, who flings seed everywhere, wastes it with holy abandon, who feeds the birds, whistles at the rocks, picks his way through the thorns, shouts hallelujah at the good soil, and just keeps on sowing, confident that there is enough seed to go around, that there is plenty, and that when the harvest comes at last, it will fill every barn in the neighborhood to the rafters. If this is really the parable of the sower, and not the parable of the different kinds of ground, then it begins to sound quite new. The focus is not on us and our shortfalls, but on the generosity of our Maker. The prolific sower who does not obsess about the condition of the fields, who is not stingy with the seed, but who casts it everywhere on good soil and bad, covering the whole creation with the fertile seed of his truth. We would be offended if we didn't get our bonus or our raise. We all think we deserve just a bit more. This really creates a high degree of unhappiness and anger in our society. When we grow up comfortable, we think we deserve. We call this reaction a sense of entitlement. The way most of us measure things, especially if we are privileged and comfortable, demonstrates that we might in fact not love God at all, but love ourselves. There's only one way to get out of this meritocracy and entitlement. Once in our lives, we have to experience undeserved love at a deep gut level, where we didn't merit it, we weren't worthy of it. In fact, we weren't worthy of it and we got it anyway. That's called mercy. Only the experience of divine mercy breaks down this entire way of counting. We think to ourselves, you gave this much, so you deserve this much. Every such expectation is a resentment waiting to happen. So what the gospel says is stop counting. Entitlement is lethal for the soul. Everything is a gift, 100% pure gift. And so the only real prayer is to say thank you and keep saying it. When our prayer is constantly thank you and we know we deserve nothing and that everything is a gift, we stop counting. Only when we stop counting and figuring out what we deserve will we move from the world of merit into the wonderful world of grace. And in the world of grace, everything is free. Rest in this knowing.
The angels are listening. God is listening.
On the earth.
I'm listening.
On the earth.
The angels are listening.
Slowly bring your awareness back to your surroundings. Take a gentle, deep breath and let it out slowly. You're invited to take time to journal, draw, or dance, any expression to today's wisdom experience. Until next week, we bless you with grace and love. And may you see the truth about yourself, no matter how beautiful it is. May peace fill your life, so love will overflow. Peace to all, light to all, love to all.